desktop
website. Today, I'd like to talk with you about how should a Christian man treat his wife? How should he be towards her? How should he have his heart towards her? What should he say? What should he do? How should a Christian man treat his wife? Now, I know you are great at this already. A lot of great Christian husbands in our congregation, but I think it's always good for us at times to periodically refresh ourselves in these things that we may be the greater men for it. Indeed, because marriage certainly is under attack by the devil in our days and by the world, and marriages fail. A lot of marriages that stay together are not actually happy marriages, not very happy. So I want to refresh ourselves in this topic today on God's Word, that we men might be the stronger for it towards our wives and our God. Now, so I just want the women to know today, this message is exclusively, okay, for the men. It's only for the men. The women, don't listen. Okay, this is, I'm going to share secrets. I'm going to share secrets just man to man with the men about how they should treat their wives. So do not listen to this message. Knowing now that I have the women's undivided attention, I turn now to the men and ask also for your undivided attention on this most important topic for us, that we may indeed be the stronger in it for our marriages, for our wives, for our families and congregation and country and everything else, and to our God. So today, how should a Christian man treat his wife? What would God, and what does God say to us about that? The first thing I know he says to us is that we should, as men, divest, or actually divorce ourselves from the teachings of the world on this matter. Because the world knows nothing, it's absolutely crazy, it's messed up, and all it does is cause trouble. On the one hand, in our culture, we have people saying men can be men, and men can marry men, and women, and a man can get pregnant, and all these kinds of crazy things. We know that that's all crazy. We don't have anything to do with that. But then there are also those in our culture, down through the decades we've lived, who hold to a more traditional view of marriage, but they're still just as messed up with respect to marriages. Because who is the supreme example of what a man should be according to the world in our culture through the decades? I would say James Bond. But is he a good marriage partner for a wife? If you consider him, is he the man to imitate? He is great looking. He drives fancy sport cars. He's very adventurous. And he's so charming, he could get any woman he wants and did in each movie. A drinker, a smoker, a gambler, a cold-hearted killer. His life, you know, just seems so much fun when you watch the movies and with that great theme song. But is he the man to imitate? Would he really be a great marriage partner for a wife and a good husband? I want you to consider for a moment what happened between each of the movies. All right, at the end of every movie, the woman is in his arms, and it seems like they're going to live happily ever after. The next movie comes out, and where is the woman? Answer, she's gone. What happened between this movie and that one? There must have been a breakup, much crying, destruction of heart, a broken heart, perhaps an abortion, and the woman left a single mom to raise a little James by herself while he went on to his next conquest. In other words, total disaster, she being destroyed. So James Bond and such things are, he's no man to imitate. He is an abomination to the Lord, actually. Don't be like him. So the first thing, men, we have to do is just divest ourselves from the teachings of Hollywood on this matter. They know nothing, and all they create is trouble, as indeed we see with our own eyes looking around the world. So what's God, though, say about a real man, a true man, according to his word? How should a Christian man treat his wife? What does God say? The very first thing he says to us, men, I want you, says God, to be faithful to her always, in every way, as your wife, as long as you live. For I've joined you to your wife, and she to you. You are her husband, she your wife. You are to cleave to her alone all your days. Be with her and be one with her. This is my will. The two become one. Where is this written? You know, Genesis, where God created the man, and then he put him in the garden to till it and to keep it. And he said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. And so a deep sleep God caused to fall upon the man. And while he's in that state of sleep, he took one of his ribs, and out of it he made the woman and brought her to the man to see what he would call her. He said, this is at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Then it says in verse 24, therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. So note something here, guys. It's not the three become one, or the four, five, six, 10,000, like James Bond, become one. That doesn't work. It's the two become one. Be faithful to her always is God's will. The very first thing he says. In other words, she should be your one and only. And you, her one and only. Be faithful. And what does that mean? It means, for one, it means many things, but it means sexually as well. Physically, to be intimate, knowing only her and she, you. Do you know that God even delights in that in the scriptures and commands men to enjoy that? For us in Proverbs chapter 5, it says, drink water from your own cistern and flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed. Now I'll pause there and just let you think what that means. And rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her affection fill you at all times with delight. Be infatuated always with her love. You know, in the Hebrew, that means let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be ravished always with her love. Then he goes on to say, have nothing to do with the adventuress, the woman who's loose, because she will destroy you. God says, take heed to yourselves in Malachi. Let none be faithless to his wife, to the wife of his youth, for I hate divorce, says the Lord, and the covering of one's garment with violence. So take heed to yourselves, and don't be faithless, but be faithful always. So what is God after, number one here, in a word? And what are women after as well? The answer is true love. Can you say that with me? True love. Be faithful to her always. Wouldn't you love that? Women, don't you? And men, you will love it too. It's God's design. It's peace and fulfillment. It's what's going to touch her heart and yours, that you be the two, one. Be faithful. That's number one. And you do this great. But secondly, don't only be faithful to her in body, but God says, number two, I want you to be faithful to her in her heart and soul as well. So that is true, true love. Can you say that with me? True, true love. Exalt her as number one above all other women and praise her for all the great things she is to you. Let her know that she is number one in your eyes and loved above all others, and let her know it. Women, would you like to hear such a thing? I'm not talking to you, that's right. But actually, if you look over here, that's what God tells us in Proverbs 31. For it says, a good wife who can find, she is far more precious than rubies, jewels, and all treasure. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he'll have no lack of gain. Then we read that she looks well to the ways of her household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Watch this. Her husband also, and he praises her. He praises her. And what does he say? Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is number two, that you are to praise her as number one in your eyes, and that she be above all other women in your heart and soul. And so, if you think about that, that's what a true man is. And this is what God's design is for. Do you remember that movie, Princess Bride, 1987 came out? That's the story of a swashbuckling young hero, Wesley, and his love for the girl of his dreams, Buttercup, and her true love for him. What kind of a movie was that? You know, if you watch it, it was really kind of a joke, right? It was a very light movie, very silly humor, chintzy kind of music put together. It had some good sword fights, giants in a castle. But though it was a silly joke-like movie, it became an absolute classic, loved by many as their favorite movie of all time. Why on earth would a movie like that become a favorite movie of all times? It was silly. It was ridiculous. It was a joke. They got the actors and actresses together after many years and asked them, why was this movie? Why did it take off? Why is it such a classic? Why do people love it so much? They really had no idea. They were like, well, maybe it was because of the silly humor, or maybe because it had some fun little sword fights and such things. But why was that movie such an amazing movie to so many? I'll tell you, the actors didn't know, the actresses and director didn't know, but they had hit on a golden chord in the heart of every true person that has even a vestige of truth left in them. They hit on true love. Because if you think about it, Wesley, the romantic hero there, went away to sea, and he was presumed lost at sea. His girl, Buttercup, thought he had died at sea, and so she eventually promised was agreed to be married to another. But he went after her. He found her. He rescued her from the villains. And when he revealed himself to her, he said, why didn't you wait for me? I told you that I would always come for you. And she said, you were dead. He said, death cannot stop true love. It can only delay it for a while. And she said, I'll never doubt again. That's why this movie became the greatest for many. And even actually, I've seen girls have tattooed that on their arms, so I heard in this interview. They love this movie so much because it hit on that golden thread of true love. Because I think, don't you think we all know that that is the way it should be? Something from which we have fallen, but which we should, the way it should be, that a man should truly love his woman like this, and she love him like this. Well, God says, this is my will for you, to praise her as the highest exalted of all women. Her husband praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Now, how can every woman be the best in the world? Aren't there a lot of women in the world? How can we have every woman be the best? Answer, according to God, she should be the absolute number one best in her husband's eyes. And he should let her know it. Now, guys, I'm talking to you right now. This is where we're not too good at this. We don't talk this way with other men. But use your words. Use your words. Come on, Neanderthals. Use your words. Use your words. Women speak like 3,000 words a day. Men, 1,000. Use your 1,000 for her. Don't put her down. Praise her as the number one absolute best for you. Now, if your marriage has been a little rocky or gotten a little rusty, God would say, just start doing it. Just start speaking to her. Because if you speak hurtful words to her, it's as if you've shot her with an arrow. You know, if you abuse her with your words and don't exalt her as number one or don't ever speak it, how is she going to, she's going to retreat from you. She's going to wither away. But if you start speaking glorious words to her, like this healing white arrow, she's going to start to sing and shine for you. When you praise her as number one above all other women, she's going to blossom for you like a flower, because this is what women are designed for, to hear that from their man, each woman from her husband. And so praise her, yes, with your words. Can you say that? Can you even say that, men? With your words. and let her know with your actions as well. In the little things, okay, stay with me. With your actions as well, in the little things, not just the big, but praise her. And you know what? God, who is the God of true love in truth, will then cause true love to spring up in your marriage by his hand, by that, because he is the one who gives you that golden thread as you praise her as your number one. So, number one, be faithful, be her one and only, and may she be your one and only. And secondly, praise her that she is number one amongst women, the best. And every woman needs to hear it, and men need to speak it to them. So that's point two. The third thing God tells us men is he says this, be the man for her. That is, be her prince, be her protector, be her provider and leader, keeping her safe through life, nurturing her that she will become all the woman that I have designed her to be. You are to be, therefore, her prince and her man. This is your job. This is going to fly in the face of the world, but God has set you in authority over your wife. You have the power, therefore, for we read, the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of his church, the body, his body, and is himself its savior. God says, I've made you the stronger to rule over her as a prince with love. Because it wouldn't be great if we could borrow this line from 2 Samuel 23 about kings and apply it to marriage. Let me read it that way. When one rules justly over his wife, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on her like the morning light, like the sun shining forth upon a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. And then the wife will say, will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? That's the way, really, it should be for husband and wife. Be the man, God says. Be the man. That's not really a word that our culture likes anymore, because culture is attacking marriage. It doesn't want you to even be after true ideals of manhood according to truth in God's word. That's why it tries to shame you for being a man and put down manly qualities like being a champion and a rescuer and a helper and a protector and a prince for your wife. They say, we don't want any of that stuff. Well, look at their track record, divorces, destruction, and devastation. Rather, if you want life and peace, be the man, be the prince for her in truth, in kindness, in love, and go after protecting her. Remember what David did in 1 Samuel 30? When his wife was captured by the Amalekites in a raid, he came home and he found her having been captured. Did he just go, well, good knowing her. Have fun saving yourself. Have fun storming the castle. No, he stormed the castle. He went after them with 600 picked men who also had lost their wives being stolen. Went after the enemy, found them, stormed the castle of their camp, destroyed the enemy, rescued his wife, and they rescued their wives and brought them safely home. This is what it is to be a man. Be the man for her, be the prince. Keep her and protect her through the storms of this life, that she be nourished into all the women that God has designed her to be. Which leads to point number four. Ready? But in your strength, men, in your strength, remember, God says, her weakness. And be patient with her, kind and gentle, forbearing, nurturing, and understanding of her weaknesses. Another thing that flies in the face of the world today and its teaching, but let's read what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, live considerately with your wives, bestowing honor upon the woman as the weaker sex, since you're joint heirs of the grace of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered. So God has made you stronger than she in most ways. She says she's the weaker sex. Weaker in the Greek is asthenes. Weaker for sure in body. Women are not as strong in their upper body strength, for example, as a man. Average to average, it just doesn't compare. And weaker in certain ways of having a mind that can set itself against an enemy with the drive and ambition to just conquer and win, and the conviction of spirit to just march forward in life, come what may, no matter what, and conquer and win. Now, that's not to say women are not super strong in these things as well. And in fact, women are strong in many ways that men are not strong. Hence, God brings us together to be a great complement. God made the man the stronger for protection and provision for his wife and to care for her. But note, in your strength, Peter says, be understanding of her weaknesses and live gently and considerately with her. Understanding, the word there in the Greek is gnosis. Be gentle with her. Understand. In other words, get some sensitivity, man. She's not a man. You didn't marry a man. You don't speak with her as a man. You treat her as a woman. She's different from you. For example, I got this today. You're to treat her as if she were a flower. What are you? You're a rock, okay? If you start treating her like she'd treat a man, you're going to destroy her. Don't treat her as you would treat a man. Understand that you are married to not a man, but a woman. And since she is that way, you are to treat her with a certain sensitivity and understand that she's different from how you are and use your words in such ways to be sensitive towards her in these kinds of ways. You know, a lot of men do get upset at women for not being men and thinking like a man, in other words. And they wonder if women are thinking at all. And then the wives think, my husband can't think at all. Don't be like me. When Beth and I were dating in the 1990s and where we lived in Maine, and I was in those days going all day long outside, nonstop, no food, just energy into nature and explore. We decided to go hiking one day. You ever done that with your spouse? And we got up, had some breakfast, went out to hike, and after about an hour or two hiking up a mountain, she said, well, how about time for lunch? And I infamously said these words to her. Are you hungry again? Okay, just a little hint to men, that's not really the best way to go about it. 30 years later, I'm still living that one down for what a total idiot I was. You do not speak to women this way, and Colossians 3 says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Rather, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And but no man hates his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it as Christ does the church because we're members of his body. You know, remember that you're married to a flower. And she's not only your wife, by the way, she's the king's daughter. And God is not only your father, he's also your father-in-law. And he's very keen on how you treat his daughter. Consider that one. Because we read here, if you mistreat her, Peter says, your prayers will be hindered. That word in the Greek means struck down and cut down to the ground. If you mistreat his daughter and don't treat her with a gentle way you should, God's not going to be listening to your prayers. Because he's a good, loving father. He loves his daughter. She's the king's daughter you're married to, and he your father-in-law. Treat her well. But when you do treat her well, it just accelerates your prayers up, and he loves to run quickly to answer you. To nourish her, says Paul. The word is ektrepho in the Greek, which means nurture her, feed her, fulfill her heart's desires, bring her up to maturity as you would a tender flower, bringing it into full fruit. You could plant it in the ground, in the water, in the ground, in a beautiful soil. Pour on glorious water, sprinkling it gently, pouring your sunshine of kindness upon her, and she's going to flower into the beautiful woman that God called her to be. You're also to cherish her. In the Greek, the word means to make her warm, just until she bursts into flame and shines before you. Warm her up, and she needs your tenderness. I'll say it again in my best British, Gwen. Get some sensitivity, man. I remember on my boat some years ago, on a sunset sail, there was a husband and wife, sailing along, newly married. And towards sunset, it was getting a little cold, and she goes to her husband, I'm cold. And he says, well, we'll be in soon. Notice only the women here laughed. The men don't get it yet. And then... She says, no, I'm cold. And Susie says, okay, here, take my jacket. He puts it on her. And then she says, no, I said, I'm cold, she says. And he says, what do you mean? What do you want? I just gave you my jacket. And she's like, put your arm around me. In other words, you know, men, we talk straight. Women, you talk a little differently, straight to you, not so straight to us. Men, get some sensitivity, man. Learn she doesn't speak like you do. Interpret these things. Speak to her as a flower. Put your arm around her. Show her the tenderness and the kindness that she needs as a woman, and she will begin to blossom before you like a flower. You'll enjoy her fragrance, her glory, her radiance, her fruit, her love. And that's what God has designed you to do towards her. Be understanding of your wife and live considerately with her. Man, you're not married to your twin. You're married to your complement. Treat her as a woman, and you will be blessed, and she blessed, and you two together blessed indeed. So leads to point number 5. Guess what, men? We've all messed up at this, okay? All of us have failed, to be sure. What should you do? God says, number 5, as a man and husband, be strong enough to be humble, to confess your sins there when you do wrong, and seek her grace and seek her forgiveness, acknowledging you didn't do it right. And as well, when she sins and she confesses to you, show her grace and forgive her. You know, this is the number one thing I always say to married couples, and I'm going to say it till I'm no longer here and I'm in heaven. Forgive each other every night. Confess your sins to one another. Because the devil wants to break the marriage. He's going to do it by bringing in sin. The only way to bring those back together is grace and forgiveness. So men, when we fail at being men towards our wives, which we all do, just say, honey, I am so sorry. I messed up. I apologize. I just humbly ask your grace and forgiveness. And women, give it to him. And likewise, the husband to the wife. And you'll be blessed. It'll be like a blue sky morning. Because if you go to bed angry and upset and unhurt, unresolved, you're going to wake up and hurt each other. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if every night you just cleanse it and make it clean and fresh, you wake up in the morning fresh like the dew on the grass, blue skies, and you're going to start to be kind to one another because you started the day forgiven. So as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So men, ask for forgiveness. Be humble. And then 6th is just give your life up for her. That's what a true man does. He's not self-centered. He's centered on serving and taking care of his wife. Yeah, she's your helper. She's your servant. But you, as her prince, are then to give your all for her. Who's our example of that one? James Bond? Nope. Who is it? Jesus Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, which is his bride, and he gave himself up for her. He's the man to imitate. He gave his life for his church. You give your life for your wife, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that she might be holy and without blemish. He gave everything for her, exalting her, true to her only, blessing her. And so I'd say this, let's be JFK here. Ask not what you can do, what your wife can do for you, but what you can do for your wife. I didn't do that very well, but as you serve her, she will be delighted to serve you all the better as your helper, and it will make for glorious blessings for you. So this is the final thing, is just love her. You could summarize this entire sermon in just simply this. A woman needs love. You should love her. This is what a woman wants. You do it and you will be amazed. She will shine the light of heaven to you, and your home will become like a little embassy, a little patch of heavenly real estate away from home until we get up above. Because love binds all things together in perfect harmony. So, in conclusion today, that day when we will be made like Christ at his coming, and then we'll be perfect. And until then, he is the one to imitate, not a James Bond or any other, but the true man. And what a real man is, Jesus Christ, the true husband of his bride, the church. His name is Faithful and True, the God of true, true love to all of his people, the man to imitate. So God bless your homes to the day of his coming with his grace and peace and love for husband and wife. Amen.